next case for argument is 21-1963, Evolution Concepts versus Hop Events. Take your time getting here until we clear the well.
May it please the court, I'm Alan Sokol representing Evolution. I am not going to address, unless there are any questions, the doctrine of equivalence issue. I'm going to use my time to address the literal infringement issue. The sole issue is the construction of magazine catch bar, which is a de novo issue decided by this court as a matter of law. If magazine catch bar reads on or encompasses an OEM or factory installed magazine catch bar, then the district court erred in granting summary judgment of non-infringement and in denying summary judgment of infringement.
Okay, can I just double check something? Is there actually a dispute between the parties about what you just last said, namely that there is actually, you were entitled to summary judgment of infringement if indeed the factory catch bar is covered by the claim? Is
our
there a dispute about that?
I'm not sure I understand, but our
position... So we have a claim construction question. Suppose we agreed with you that the claim, contrary to the district court's claim construction, actually doesn't exclude factory catch bars. At that point, do we remand? Do we, remand for the question of infringement to be addressed as to those particular claims, or is it undisputed that there is infringement on if we adopt that claim construction?
It is undisputed. It's my understanding, it's the judge's understanding at the district court. It's in her opinion. She expressly says, if magazine catch bar encompasses an OEM magazine catch bar, then there is infringement. If it doesn't encompass it, then there is not infringement. So I don't think there's any dispute.
That's an appendix page A9, I think.
Excuse me?
Appendix page 9, I think.
Yes, in the court's opinion. And it's also quoted in our opening brief. The district court properly relied on intrinsic evidence in making its decision, but the district court failed to follow the claim construction jurisprudence of this court, and it failed to consider the patent as a whole. It focused on a single ambiguous sentence out of context in the patent, and in doing so, it construed magazine catch bar to exclude OEM magazine catch bars, even though there's no special definition or no clear and unmistakable disavowal of the ordinary meaning of magazine catch bar. To reach that construction, the court went through four steps, and if any of those steps were erroneous, then the court's decision was erroneous, and all four of those steps were erroneous. And I'll just briefly say what the four steps are. First, it interpreted what is the most quoted sentence in the patent, and I'm going to read that sentence. The invention is a permanent fixture added to a semi-automatic firearm by removing the standard OEM magazine catch assembly and installing the invention. The district court interpreted that sentence to mean that magazine catch bar is excluded from being installed, the term magazine catch bar excludes installing an OEM magazine catch bar because the OEM magazine catch bar is part of the removed OEM magazine catch assembly. So that was the first step. The second step was, based on this court's Verizon opinion, the district court held that magazine catch bar in the product claims excludes OEM magazine catch bars, even though the product claims just say magazine catch bar. They don't include any installing or removing steps. Thirdly, the court similarly ruled that in claim 15, which is not even asserted against Juggernaut, that magazine catch bar in that claim also excludes an OEM magazine catch bar.
Does that make any difference? I mean, I know in your briefing you keep on talking about the unasserted claim as if you can't consider it because it's not been asserted. That's not your view, is it?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Because it's been unasserted, in your briefing you talk about it as the unasserted claim, and that's fine, but that doesn't suggest or foreclose that one can't consider the claim in connection with claim construction analysis just because it's not been asserted.
No, okay. Of course you can consider it. You can consider everything in the original disclosure, which includes the written description and the claims. They're all allowed on the first allowance, so they're part of the original disclosure also. All of that can be considered.
Part of your appeal is premised on magazine catch bar and claim 15 as having a different scope of meaning than magazine catch bar and claim 1. Is that right?
No. We think that magazine catch bar in claim 15 and claims 1 and 8 means the ordinary meaning magazine catch bar. But even if it does...
I thought you had at least a backup argument suggesting that that same term should have a different meaning in the context of claim 15 compared to claim 1.
The backup argument is...
So that isn't part of your appeal then?
Yes.
Premised on the court should understand magazine catch bar in claim 15 as being something different than magazine catch bar in claim 1.
Yeah, our position, I want to make that clear, is that magazine catch bar has the same construction, the ordinary meaning of magazine catch bar, which encompasses a OEM magazine catch bar in all three claims, 1, 8, and 15. But even if you decide that in claim 15, magazine catch bar excludes an OEM magazine catch bar, that does not carry over to claims 1 and 8, which don't include the removing step and the installing step that the court based its construction on.
And just so I can be sure I understand, as to claim 15, the theory is when the claim says in a step you need to remove something, of course it's got to refer to the thing that was originally a part of it, and it's removing an assembly, and that doesn't mean that when you put a catch bar back in to a new assembly, you can't use this particular component of it that was the original thing that you took out. And therefore, the one that you're putting in, the catch bar, can be the one that you took out. Is that right?
Well, I'm not sure I understood, but if the claim 15 says removing the magazine assembly button assembly.
Removing.
And
factory installed magazine catch
bar. And then it says installing a magazine catch
bar. And your point is that can be the same one you removed.
It can be, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's our position.
Right.
And in fact, it can be or it cannot be. That is, it can be a factory installed or a non-factory installed magazine catch bar because it's using a broad term, and that broad term encompasses both, just like
Suppose the district court, when it was reading your specification and claims and saw the term removing the magazine catch bar assembly and all the components therein that make up the magazine catch assembly, the judge believed that removing meant discarding. Is that fair to say?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
Well, that's how the district court could thereby distinguish that when you recite later in your claim the introduction of a magazine catch bar, it necessarily must be a different catch bar than the one that's part of the assembly, because by removing all of those factory-made components, those are discarded.
Well, that was the district court's reasoning.
Right.
But
what's wrong with that reasoning, I guess, is my question.
Removing
all of this guts from the firearm and then replacing it with some new guts.
Well, the word replacing doesn't occur, but it just says installing a magazine catch bar. That's all it says. And that could be either the original magazine catch bar that was part of the assembly that was removed, or it could be a different magazine catch bar. It would serve the same purpose, whichever it is.
Is the magazine catch bar of the claimed invention, is it positioned in the same way? It's positioned somehow differently than how the magazine catch bar is initially positioned. Is that correct? In your modified firearm?
In the modified firearm, the magazine catch bar is positioned so that it, in both, it goes into a cavity in the magazine itself and holds the magazine there so it cannot be removed. And the invention adds a upper tension bar that connects to the magazine catch bar that makes the magazine catch bar immobile so that it cannot come out of the magazine and release the magazine. So that's true for the OEM magazine catch bar. That's true for the magazine catch bar that is substituted. Whether it's modified or not modified, it works the same way. It connects with the magazine at the same place to keep it from coming out unless you can move the magazine catch bar, OEM or not. And you can't move it in the invention unless the upper tension bar is released. And that can only happen when you open the upper and lower receivers of the firearm. What this court's case law clearly requires, and we put a major emphasis on the Thorner decision, Thorner versus Sony, but the same thing happens in the Enbank decision in Phillips, that there are only two ways that you ignore the ordinary meaning of a claim term. Either you have a special definition that is clearly set forth, or you have a clear and unmistakable disavowal. And the simple saying that you remove the magazine catch assembly that happens to include a magazine catch bar, and then insert or install a magazine catch bar is by no stretch of the imagination a clear and undisputable and unambiguous disavowal or disclaimer, and it's certainly not a special definition.
Mr. Shelker, before your time runs out, I just want to go back to where we started, which is Judge Toronto's question about whether there would be summary judgment of infringement here. And even though I recognize what you pointed us to on A9 of the appendix, the district court did note some differences in terms of the accused products. So the question is really, are we clear that all of the accused products would necessarily be found to be infringing, even if we would agree with you on the claim construction? And the second part of my question is, I also think that there's some indirect infringement claims.
Oh, I'm sorry, you also?
I think there are some indirect infringement claims. And so I don't know how we do that on summary judgment of infringement, if I'm right about that. And there are also some dependent claims. So I guess I'm not entirely satisfied that necessarily all of the accused, there is infringement, summary judgment of infringement on all of the accused products and all the allegations you've made. So what am I missing?
Right. Well,
we will certainly ask the other side their view, but.
The court did go through all the limitations of at least claims 1 and 8 and said that they're all there in the accused products.
But that's just 1 and 8, and there are a bunch of other claims.
Right,
that are
dependent claims
as to which.
That's
do
right.
Not
I,
have the
I
same.
Don't think the court. I don't think the court went through that. But I don't know that there was an issue about any of those. And
are there indirect infringement claims in this
excuse
case?
Excuse me.
Are there indirect infringement claims in this case?
Inducement claims.
Yeah. Contributory or inducement. I thought I saw them there.
Thank you. Yes, there probably are, but I'm not actually certain, but since claim
well, how eight, do we grant summary judgment on induced infringement on this record.
Then you might want to reverse on simply literal infringement of claims 1 and 8 and remand. It's got to be remanded anyway for invalidity.
We'll ask the other side about it, but I just wanted to go back to that. Thank you. We'll restore some rebuttal time. Let's hear from the other side.
Okay. Well, if I have any remaining time, I'll reserve it for rebuttal unless there are any more questions.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Bobby Braxton, and I represent Juggernaut Tactical. This case fits squarely within Verizon v. Vonage. Verizon isn't absolute. It's not final. There are exceptions. Absolute versus stealth provided some exceptions where the specification is inconsistent. The district court looked for some of these exceptions and looked for some of these inconsistencies and saw none, and rightfully granted the construction of excluding an OEM magazine catch bar.
And so that what is the crucial piece of the spec on which you rely?
There's a number of them. The first one is it's on appendix 66.
And it's column and line number does.
I'm sorry, yes, sir. And it's column 2, line 54. It's these two sentences, if I can read it. The invention is a device which is installed as a permanent component of the firearm. And then it later says, the invention is a permanent fixture added to a semi-automatic firearm by removing the standard OEM magazine catch assembly and installing the invention.
Right. So as I read that, that to me does not say one word about whether the invention can include the very same OEM factory installed catch bar that was removed for purposes of installing this new assembly.
So I would say, I read it as saying the invention is removing the original one. And then when you take it.
Does it say discarding it?
It doesn't say discarding.
Right. So you remove it because you're taking something apart. So far, nothing is said about what has to be put back.
Right. But I think it says installing the invention.
Right.
And then later, so for example, in the figures, this isn't the case where that sentence is in isolation. In the figures, if you look to column four, I'm on page 67 of the appendix. Column 4, line 65. This isn't the case where the sentence stands in isolation.
Sorry, line 55 or 65?
65, I'm sorry. 65, sorry. And that sentence says, as shown in figure 1, when the lower receiver is attached to the upper receiver, the invention 10 is securely placed in a recess in the magazine well. And so this is a case where they've actually drawn out the invention. We're not saying they're limited to the specific embodiment.
How do we know invention? Is 10 the catch bar?
10 is the invention. That's what they call is 10 the invention, and then later on in the...
You're not connecting for me that language to your crucial proposition that the catch bar that goes in as part of the reconstructed firearm can't be the one that came out.
Sure. And I think what I'm trying to connect is that they define the invention 10 in the figures and that none of the figures, 1 through 5, show a firearm with an OEM magazine catch bar.
Well, let's look at figure 3.
Yes, sir.
Right? Figure 3 is the invention 10, and it shows that invention 10 is an assembly made up of several different components.
Correct.
One of which is the catch bar 120.
Yes, sir.
And so the question to me is, why can't that particular component of the invention also be the same component that makes up the original factory-made magazine catch assembly?
Sure.
Is there something in the specification that communicates to us the magazine catch bar of invention 10 is unique? It has to be customized because now the way we're going to ensure that this is modified the way we want the firearm to be modified, we need a new, different
Sure.
Magazine catch bar than the one that was made originally.
Right. So I think the answer is, just taken as a whole, the specification, every time the OEM magazine catch bar is discussed, it's removed. Now, I grant you, it doesn't say...
I'm sorry. Let me repeat my question, because it's important to me. Is there something in this written description that communicates to us that the magazine catch bar of Invention 10 needs to be designed differently than the magazine catch bar that comes with the original magazine assembly, magazine catch assembly?
I don't know, other than the language that we spoke about before, where they define the invention as removing the OEM and installing...
Right, you're removing an assembly.
Right.
Right, an assembly of parts.
Yes, sir.
And now you're introducing a different assembly. Mm-hmm. As a whole, it's a different assembly.
Correct.
With its own parts.
That's right.
And the real question is, why can't these two different assemblies share some of the same components?
Sure. And I think the reason is because the original OEM magazine catch bar cannot function in this way. It just cannot. The original function, it has a recess for a thread, and that's it. You can't attach an upper tension bar. As they've shown in figures 3 and 4, the original OEM, which has been around for 70 years, cannot function like that.
Are we talking about the assembly or the catch bar itself?
The catch bar itself.
Okay, now how do I know that?
I think you know that because, as I mentioned, that column 2 language, they say, hey, we have to get rid of the OEM magazine catch assembly. And in fact, claim 15 is even consistent, where by change in antecedent basis, claim 15, it specifically calls out, and I'm looking at, it's on appendix 69. Claim 15, the removing steps comprise depressing the magazine release button to a sufficient depth to permit the factory installed magazine catch bar, removing all parts of the factory installed magazine release button assembly. But then later, when you install a magazine catch bar. And so the change of antecedent basis, it's introducing a new term. We're not introducing, the previous factory installed.
I guess if we were just to look at the claims, forget mm-hmm. about the figures and the written description, right. Just look at the claims, and then we see this reference to a factory installed magazine catch bar, and then a separate limitation about a magazine catch bar.
Right.
Just under standard claim construction principles, why wouldn't we look at the term a magazine catch bar, whether it's in claim 1 or claim 15, as referring to any magazine catch bar? As I understand it, that's typically how we would understand
sure.
The claim.
I think if you look at the term factory installed magazine catch bar in claim 15, if it's the same thing as magazine catch bar, factory installed is redundant or is unnecessary. We're removing those limitations if we say those are the same.
But let me push back on that. It doesn't seem to me redundant at all. You're removing an entire assembly, one component of which, as Judge Shen said, is this catch bar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're going to refer to this is a process of taking the gun as it came out of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
So you're removing stuff, you say, the parts that were installed in the factory, and then you're putting some new stuff in, one of which is a catch bar, but it doesn't say that the catch bar that you're putting in can't be the one component of the removed assembly that you took out.
I think the only thing I would say is the claim language actually, it doesn't say remove the assembly, it says...
I think it does.
I'm sorry. To permit the factory-installed magazine
removing
catch bar.
Removing all parts of the factory-installed magazine release button assembly.
Right, but up above it says depressing the magazine release button to a sufficient depth to permit the factory-installed magazine catch bar. So we're talking about one specific component, we remove the whole assembly, and then we add a completely new A magazine catch bar.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Figure 1 and 2 are one thing. Figure 3 specifically is introduced on column 5 as one embodiment of the invention. Does any of the claim language that we are talking about here, the claim language, claim particular parts shown in figure 3 of the invention 10?
Yes, sir. Are you looking at claim 1? Is that what you said?
Any of the claims.
Any of the claims. It does. Figure 3, for example, shows a magazine catch bar, which is 120, and it shows an upper tension bar, which is 110. But I would say, again, there's not a single figure or description anywhere in here that even suggests that you can reuse the OEM magazine catch bar.
That would be an odd thing to do, wouldn't it? In a patent like this, you're describing the structures of the device, not except for the method claim, not so much where they came from. And even the method one is specifically about, you're saying, okay, we're going to start with something. So you got to say that is origin based.
Right.
But the result that you're creating, who cares where it comes from?
I think why it matters is because the whole thrust of this device is converting a releasable magazine to a fixed. And so there's no question that all the evidence on record from all the experts show you cannot do that with the OEM magazine catch. There's just no way to do it.
Did the district court rely on this some sort of impossibility theory of the sort that you're just describing?
No, but I think the district court relied upon kind of the totality of the specification, including where the applicant of the 845 patent defined the thesis of their invention as removing the original OEM and replacing it with a new magazine catch bar. And so I think just that, as well as when we kind of look at...
Or maybe to be more refinedly accurate, a new assembly.
I would still say the claim itself doesn't really talk about assembly. It just talks about a magazine catch bar.
Well, it talks about a magazine catch bar and an upper tension bar together.
Correct.
Right? That's the invention.
That's the invention. That's correct.
So getting to claim one, I mean, let's assume the patent drafter wanted to claim an invention that encompassed all kinds of magazine catch bars.
Mm-hmm.
What did it need to say that it failed to say in claim one when it said recites a magazine catch bar?
Sure. I would say that claim one does capture all types of magazine catch bars.
Including the factory installed one.
No, sir.
Well, that's my question.
Right, sure.
Well, then I'm a patent drafter. I'm in a bind here.
100%.
I want to be able to claim generically a magazine catch bar.
Right.
Encompass any magazine catch bar known to man. How am I going to write that claim?
I think you don't even have to touch the claim. I think in the specification where you define your invention, could say in one embodiment we can do this, but also if it was at all possible to reuse the original OEM, I think it would have taken one sentence, and I don't think we would be here.
So instead of rewriting the claim, you're suggesting to the patent drafter rewrite the specification?
I think just one sentence would have changed the game completely.
Well, okay, what if we kept the written description as is?
Mm-hmm.
How is the patent drafter going to write the claim that he to accomplish what he wants to accomplish?
Sure. I think perhaps claim one can say magazine catch bar, and claim two could have said, you could have had a definite claim that says the firearm in claim one, where instead magazine catch bar is an OEM magazine catch bar. I think if you add, then you have a claim differentiation argument. But I think had they done that here, there would have been a host of 112 issues, lack of support, all that sort of stuff. So I think to your question, I'm not sure off the top of my head how you can redefine magazine catch bar in the claim, other than adding definite claims to kind of flesh out the differences. Did that answer the question a bit?
Yes.
Before your time runs out, could you address the kind of procedural question we were having in terms of if we were hypothetically to reverse claim construction, what we're left with in terms of infringement?
Right, Your Honor, yes. So the dependent claims, the asserted dependent claims in this case, we had non-infringement positions as to the dependent claims. So the the district court did not address those. Once they said, once we got the construction, they said, okay, if you don't infringe the independent, you don't infringe the dependent. But so the dependent claims, 9 and 10, for example, those are still contested.
What about 1 and 8?
1 and 8, the sole main issue is magazine catch bar.
Well, sole and main are not quite
I think that, fair enough. That's the sole issue. Okay. The only other thing that, when
that's
we move for some-
literal infringement, summary judgment. Infringement.
That's correct. The only other thing is the district court did not get to was we also filed a motion for summary judgment of invalidity. So that's still open. But as to infringement, you're correct. For 1 and 8, it's magazine catch bar.
Right, and in this case, the invalidity is asserted only as an affirmative defense, not a counterclaim.
It
better be the case or we don't have a final judgment. I think I checked.
Okay, that might be the case. Yes, sir.
Just one last question. Your impossibility argument that it would be impossible to use the original factory-made magazine catch bar.
Right.
Was there any extrinsic evidence developed up to that point?
Yes, sir. And it's in the record, but it's not in the appendix. Our technical expert, during a deposition, the question was, if I give you a blank check, can you make this OEM work at all? And we spent 30 minutes going back and forth. The final answer was, I would have to give you the blank check back. There's just no way to do it. You need, as in figure 3, some other things to attach the upper tension bar. You need certain things that...
That's fine, but let me put a finer point on it.
Sure.
It's impossible to use the OEM magazine catch bar in conjunction with an upper tension bar to accomplish what the invention is designed to accomplish.
I believe it is. I think you need something else. You need...
Maybe you need other components to the assembly. That's fine, but I'm
sure.
Just wondering... Is there something about the design of the originally made magazine
sure.
catch bar that precludes it from being able to be used with other pieces, including an upper tension bar,
sure.
to accomplish what the invention is seeking to accomplish?
I would say, and I'm summarizing kind of the expert's testimony here, but, you know, we're talking about fine tolerances where this has to fit in certain spots. And so if it's only threaded to receive one bolt, that's as simple as an OEM magazine catch bar is. It's a bolt that attaches to it, to a planar piece.
And I'm having trouble squaring that with your agreement that the only non-infringement argument you made was about this claim construction.
Sure.
It sounds like now you're saying, if you tried to use the OEM one, then it wouldn't be a working firearm, yet they're accusing, I assume, something that is a working firearm, so sure. it must work.
No, 100%, but we don't do it in the way that they do it. Like, so for example, the upper tension bar.
They do it, meaning that's claimed?
As claimed and written in the patent.
Well then why didn't you have an additional non-infringement argument?
Because I think the construction for upper tension bar, which is the other item here, the upper tension bar and the accused products, they do not touch the OEM magazine catch bar. They go above it. It's not touched. It's not coupled whatsoever. And so the reason we're putting all our eggs in the magazine catch bar basket is in the accused products, we do not touch the magazine catch bar. We don't take it out. And that's why claim 15, just to back up, it's not asserted now, but it was originally asserted and they eventually had to drop it because they found out, oh, Juggernaut does not take out the OEM magazine catch bar. So they dropped claim 15.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to just address a couple of points. The Verizon case doesn't apply because it has to be the invention as a whole that is affected. And there are two inventions here, actually three. They're the inventions of claims 1 and 8, which are product inventions, and there's the invention of claim 15, which is a method invention. And the invention is sentence that Juggernaut relies on describes the method. It talks about removing and installing. Those don't appear in the product claims.
So, Cole, we didn't talk about your inventor, co-inventor's deposition testimony during your opening. But could you speak to that? It appeared at some point he testified that his invention is a modified magazine catch bar.
Yes. Let me address that.
Was there just some misunderstanding or miscommunication in what was going on? Because
No.
It sounded, there's a way to read that to suggest that the inventor believed his invention is rooted in a modified magazine catch bar being used.
And he was correct in part. Of course, he's a layman, so he doesn't understand about claims and the way they're construed. Mr. Harris, the co-inventor and owner of Evolution, did testify that he did not invent the magazine catch bar. Of course, he didn't invent the magazine catch bar. Juggernaut admitted that it's been known for decades. In fact, in their opening claim construction brief, they said magazine catch bar doesn't need to be construed because it has a well-known meaning that's been known for decades, and that's its ordinary meaning. So Mr. Harris did not invent the magazine catch bar. And he said, when he was asked, he said, but I invented a modified magazine catch bar. And he did, and that's what some of the dependent claims are drawn to, but not the independent product claims. And then he was asked, well, do you still maintain...
Which dependent claims are you referring to?
There are specifics about the magazine catch bar in any number of the claims. Claim 6, for example, talks about a catch pivot, and which is in the embodiment of Figure 4.
What about Claim 5?
Excuse me?
Claim 5? What's that?
Claim 5? Yeah, two separate extended members of one magazine catch. That's the modified catch bar, which is shown in Figure 4. There are two embodiments that are disclosed in the patent. Figure 3, where you have a separate upper tension bar and magazine catch bar. Figure 4, the two are an integral unit. So those are the only two embodiments disclosed, and the case law is clear that even if you have all embodiments that have only a narrow limitation, that's not enough to be an unmistakable disavowal of the ordinary meaning of a claim. But those two embodiments are very different, and it shows that this can be done in a lot of different ways. Claims 1 and 8 are not restricted to any particular way of doing it. And I think you asked the question, do you need to have something other than the OEM magazine catch bar in order to make this operable? Well, you don't. In the Super Tool case, this is a consolidated appeal, that's exactly what the defendant does. It removes the assembly, and then it installs the original OEM catch bar. That's why in the Super Tool case, we asserted Claim 15. We did not assert it in this case because they don't remove the original magazine catch bar, but they add the upper tension bar, and I think my time is up.
Your time is up. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted. That concludes our proceedings.
Thank you very much.